5 o'clock hour of the Burns and Gambo show. Thanks for hanging out with us here on this Thursday afternoon. I don't want to call it a throwaway line because it wasn't a throwaway line, but it certainly was not the main part of the story that appeared on The Athletic today. The story was about Mac Jones and how he fell to the New England Patriots at number 15,
yeah, they
right?
sat there. Everybody else was moving and trying to figure out moving up to get their quarterbacks. And then they just sat there and they got a guy who many people thought was going to go third overall.
Yep.
They sat there, did nothing, and got him at 15.
It's a very New England Patriots thing to do. Yeah. Very New England Patriots-like kind of luck that they have. And so the story is about how that all went down and Mac Jones in New England and how it's going to work and things like that. At the very end of that story, or near the end of that story, The Athletic writes, Belichick and McDaniels liked what they saw, but they still needed some luck to get Jones in the draft. After he fell past the 49ers at number 3 and the Panthers at 8, the Saints began calling teams about trading up from number 28.
They came marching in.
Potentially to get Mac Jones, yes. The Saints didn't come marching in, actually. The Saints couldn't find anybody who wanted to move back that far, according to the story, but they had a deal in the works to get number 16 from the Arizona Cardinals. One pick too late because he went 15 to the New England Patriots. Now, I'll let the cat out of the bag. You did the Gambo thing on this. And
yeah, there were no discussions. The Cardinals had no discussions with New Orleans, so that's not true. There was no deal in place. The Cardinals would not have gone back that far. The Cardinals were interested in moving back, but they were never interested in moving back to the end of the first round.
Okay.
They were interested in moving back, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 spots, but not that many spots.
Okay.
So there was no discussion. The Cardinals and the Saints did not talk at all about a trade. So if New Orleans was looking to move up, it was not with the Cardinals at 16. It was probably with another team.
And it didn't
Arizona.
Matter because he was gone at 15.
Yeah.
But let's never let the facts get in the way of some good, fun speculation.
That's right.
Right? I mean, let's
facts.
I mean, okay, we got the facts out of the way. We've covered the facts. We've talked about the facts. Now let's talk about this a little bit. And let's deal in this kind of what-if world of, okay, let's say they had called the Arizona Cardinals. Let's say Mac Jones was there at number 16 and Mickey Loomis or Sean Payton or whomever picks up the phone, calls Steve Keim and says, Mac Jones is there. We want to come up and get him. We're at 28. I don't think the Cardinals would have wanted to go back that far based off of who was left on the board at that point. Look, it's easy to say that in hindsight. But there was kind of this window that you wanted to aim for if you were the Cardinals moving back. And looking at how the draft played out, 28 was not the window. 28 was too far back of the window to get guys you wanted to get.
There were guys that they would have been, you know, they would have, if they could have got Najee Harris, yes. Rashad Bateman, maybe even Greg Newsome, the Northwestern quarterback, all players that they liked. None of those players were there at 28, right? Bateman was gone to Minnesota. Newsome was gone to the Browns. Najee was gone to Pittsburgh. Kwity Paye, a guy they really liked, was gone at 21 to the Colts. So that wasn't a spot that they were comfortable moving back to. They didn't have interest in moving back that far towards the end of the first round. Any talk of the Cardinals trading down was pretty much focused in what, you know, you've called the area like that sweet spot in that 20, 19, 20, 21, 22, you know, maybe that area because they still would have been able to get their guy. A lot of the players they liked were still, you know, from 16 to 28 were gone.
Yeah.
They were gone. So, you know, what would they have had at 28? You know, you're talking about, look at the players that were left from 28 on. Peyton Turner was picked at 28. Then Eric Stokes, Gregory Rousseau, Adafi Owa, and Joe Tryon. They would have taken him. Now, I don't know what New Orleans would have offered. That's another piece to the puzzle.
Sure.
But again, I'm saying that this didn't happen.
I know, but again, we're not letting the facts get in the way of good, fun, clean speculation here.
Right. Yeah, the facts of life was not really a true story.
No, it really wasn't. I mean there wasn't really a boarding. There was no Tootie. No, people did not. So right. we will not, for at least a couple more minutes, we will not allow the facts to get in the way of good, fun speculation here. So that's problem number one. Problem number one is it wasn't exactly the sweet spot to move down. What's intriguing is what you just said a second ago. How much would it have cost the New Orleans Saints to go from 28 to 16? And then what do you do with those draft picks? And I'll just use a for example here. So let's say the Saints give up their second and or their third.
28 is worth, 16 is worth 1,000 points.
Okay.
28 is worth 660 points.
Okay.
Okay. So there's a difference there of 340 points.
What's
New Orleans' pick in the second round?
It's 60 overall.
Was worth 300 points. So okay. Not enough.
Nope.
You would have had to throw in maybe another, maybe a fifth round pick, you know, or a sixth round pick to try to get equal value.
I'm looking at
they
the Saints
did not have a fifth
right
round
now.
Pick.
No, they didn't have a fifth round pick. So they had
a fourth worth 39.5. So that's probably what you would have asked for. So what does that put it if you add 39.5 to the 660 and the 300?
You're at 1,000, almost dead even.
And you gave up 1,000.
Yeah, you gave up 1,000. You're getting if you're using the Jimmy Johnson trade chart.
So 16 would have been worth 28, 60, and then the fourth round pick, which was 133. That would have been equal value.
Yeah. And there's a million different charts out there, and they probably all have different, you know, variables in terms of, but let's use this one as sort of our guide. What then could they have done with that extra second round pick? What then, you know, if Asante Samuel is sliding on day two, would they have had the ammunition to move up, given that they got a couple of extra picks? Now, and these are all hypotheticals.
Yeah, so the Cardinals would have had 49 and 60 in the second round. Which
and no third rounder, but now a fourth rounder, which they didn't have either. Remember, they didn't have a third rounder. They didn't have a fourth rounder. They didn't have another pick till the fifth round until they moved back in and take Marco Wilson in the fourth round. It didn't happen, so it doesn't matter at this point. But it is interesting to think that had Mac Jones been there, the Cardinals might have gotten a call. And if it had been more in the sweet spot, 19 to 25, 19 to 26. I would have wanted them to do it. I would have strongly advocated.
Listen, it's
trading
nothing,
down.
There's nothing wrong with quantity, but quality always trumps quantity, right? The quality always trumps. Quantity is great. You get a lot of swings of the bat, but if you really love a player, you know, then you want to make sure you don't miss out. If you have three or four players you really, really feel can help your football team, you don't want to give out on those guys just to add a bunch of later picks.
No, that's true. But if you've got a bunch of guys that you like enough in the first round and you feel like are in that window and you can get extra picks, I'm all for that too. When we come back on the Burns and Gambo show, the Suns bench really struggling as the regular season is winding down. A couple of guys in particular, what do they need to do to get right before the start of the playoffs? And for one in particular, is there time for him to get right before the start of the playoffs? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo show. Still a 1-1 baseball game between the D-backs and the Marlins. Madison Bumgarner is rolling, has not given up a hit since that leadoff home run in the bottom of the first.
15 straight retired by Madison Bumgarner. 7 strikeouts, 15 straight retired. 1-1 game, pitcher's duel in Miami. Bumgarner really dealing right now. He's pitching a great game.
Yep, and a pitching change for the Marlins. 1-1 game right now. That game going on ESPN 620, but we'll keep you updated on it as we finish up our show in the next 40 minutes here on the Burns and Gambo show. Suns, 6 games left on the season. They're done with back-to-backs, thank goodness, except for that season-ending one in San Antonio. But that one's a little different because they're not leaving anywhere. It's a game in San Antonio, and the next night it's a game in San Antonio. There's no travel. There's no getting into the hotel at 4 o'clock in the morning or anything like that. So that one's not a traditional back-to-back. 6 games to go. They're in the number 2 seed right now. They're game back of the Utah Jazz for the number 1 seed. They seem pretty locked into 1 or 2. Things would have to go pretty sideways, you know, in terms of the competition behind them basically winning out and the Suns playing only 500 ball the last week and a half of the season for them to get caught. It can happen. It's not totally crazy. But the Suns seem like they're a good bet to finish either 1 or 2. And now you start thinking ahead of the playoffs. And Gambo, we need to talk about this bench a little bit because last night they were creamed by Atlanta's bench in that game. And as we talked about the Suns going into the trade deadline, we noted that, you know, their sixth best player off the bench is Cam Johnson. Their seventh best player off the bench is Dario Saric. Dario was six. Cam Johnson was seven. Cameron Payne was eight. And they were trying to figure out who nine was. Okay. The playoffs are just a couple of weeks away. It's got to be a concern to Monty that players six and seven on his bench. Cam Johnson is not shooting the ball well, hasn't for about 12 games now. Dario Saric is only playing in garbage time right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really and that's.
I'm going to do some digging tonight and try to see what I could find out as to why all this stuff is happening and how this is going to play out. Look, here's what happens in the playoffs. Starters' minutes goes up, and you shorten your bench. And that's just the way. That's the reality of the NBA. Starters play more minutes, and you know if you're normally playing 11 guys in a game, you're going to cut that to 9. You play in 10, you're going to cut it to 9. You're going to eliminate a bench guy or two. You know, who's the most reliable guys? Right now, I feel really confident in Torrey Craig. I just always feel confident Torrey Craig is going to, you know, give you some defense and some rebounding and do some things. I feel really good about him. But listen, they're very reliant on their bench guys. Cam Johnson shooting the ball, Cameron Payne giving Chris Paul a break and running the offense, Dario facilitating for that second unit. They're very reliant on that second unit coming in. When Dario was playing at his best, he was coming in for DeAndre Ayton and playing some small ball five.
Yeah.
You know, and right now you're questioning, well, what's Dario's role going into the playoffs? What is his role? And Cam Johnson's not hitting any shots. Clearly, what is a major strength of this team, and I do think the Suns have one of the best benches in the NBA, what is a major strength is suddenly a little bit of a question mark as we creep towards the playoffs.
100%. And that's a worry. That's a worry. Look, we can sit here and say that they're going to go as far as Booker and Paul and Ayton are going to take them. And fundamentally, that's probably true. And you're right. Rotations do get shortened. Bench minutes go down. You still need those guys, right? You still need guy six and guy seven and guy eight to contribute come playoff time, even though their minutes are going to get cut. And it is a little uncomfortable right now to see what Cam Johnson is going through. His last eight games in 28 minutes per game, 7 points, 15.4% from the three-point line. Somebody pointed this out. You look at his game logs, and I did look at his game. Remember, he missed 2 weeks because of COVID in and around the All-Star break.
Yeah,
Remember that?
And admit it could have been a big factor for him.
But that was a while ago.
It was.
I mean, that was – he missed from March 4th until March 19th. So you're talking about nearly 2 months ago that – and coming out of that layoff, he was shooting the ball quite well from the three-point line. I mean, there are 2 for 2, 2 for 5, 2 for 5, 2 for 4, 3 for 5, 3 for 7, 3 for 5. I can go right on and on. He was doing well. The struggles for him are recent. And there is that question of, is he hitting that kind of second-year wall, right? He only played...
He's never played this many games in his life.
And certainly not high-intensity games like this, right?
Listen, he played 57 games. College was 2 years ago. So what did they play? 25 games, 30 games, 35 games, you know. Last year, he played 57 games, but, you know, as you astutely pointed out, that there was a big break in between.
Yes.
So you played a game.
Big gap.
There was a big gap in between. I mean, they played those 8 games in the bubble, and that was in between. So he's played 60 games right now. I do think that for some of these guys, it's a little bit of a wall. I think DeAndre's hit a wall. I think Cam's hit a wall. You know, now you got to figure it out. But you should have been prepared for this. I mean, I think that the Suns should have been prepared for this. They should have looked at this and been prepared. I care more about rest right now. I care more about health going into the playoffs than seed. I don't give a damn about the 1 or the 2 seed, man. I just don't care. I'm not looking at it. Look, tonight there's a big game between the Lakers and the Clippers, and there's a lot of feeling that the Lakers and the Clippers could play each other in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
That it could be 3 versus 6 in the first round, that the Clippers could get the 3 seed, the Lakers could get the 6, and the 2 LA teams will beat the hell out of each other in the first round. Great. Bring it on. That'd be great. Let them play each other. I'm all for that. I don't care if the Suns are the 1 or 2 seed as much. What I care about is I think these guys need a mental and a physical break a little bit, you know, going in. So I would care more about that than I would about the seeding.
Yeah, it's just who to give that break to and when. I mean, because we're not even having a conversation about Devin Booker. He could probably use a break. He hasn't shown it on the floor. Chris Paul could probably use a break given his age. I don't think he's going to let Monty give him a day off. That's going to be a conversation slash argument between the two of them. Cam Johnson certainly looks like he could use a break. Do you have enough time to do that with only 6 games left? Or do you want to use those 6 games to try to get him right? And Dario, Dario's gotten to the point where I don't know if he's going to get any playoff minutes at all. And that's too bad, because I think when they were at their very best, he was a key cog on this team. And I do worry, and not just because I'm a Dario fan, I worry about how effective that bench is going to be if Dario Saric is relegated to garbage time. And not that you need to force it. If he's not giving you quality minutes, you can't play him. I don't know if there's any time to get him right in time for the postseason. This might be Frank Kaminsky's job in the postseason, and I don't know how I feel about that compared to Dario at his best. I just got to be honest with you.
Yeah, he played 8 minutes against Atlanta. He did play 12 against Cleveland, 14 against Oklahoma City. But at his best, I mean, he's a guy that's probably giving you, there was that stretch, you go back to March, 26 minutes, 24 minutes, 26 minutes, 20, 22, 24, 20, 18 to 26 minutes.
Key guy.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's what you're very reliant on him, in March.
I don't think rest is going to do him any good. I think
he needs to play.
You've got a decision to make. I've got 6 games left. How much of that am I going to devote to trying to get Dario Saric right, or do I need to move on? Do I need to move on and figure out who else is going to do it for us in the postseason? Because I don't have time to get Dario right for the postseason. That's a huge question for Monty Williams. Huge.
I think you got to play him. I think you got to play Dario.
And Cam's kind of in the same boat. He looks like a guy who could use a blow. He looks like a guy who could use the rest. You got 6 games to find his stroke before you go into the postseason, and you're going to need it badly. Do you give him that time off?
Yeah.
Or do you give him the blow?
I give him time off.
Because he looks
Which
like...
Which is a blow. I think it's the same thing, right? Do you give him the time off or do you give him the blow?
Did I say that?
You said, do you give him the time off or do you give him the blow?
I'm thinking to myself,
well, I would give him the time off, but then I'd also give him the blow. So
you're right. I said the same thing.
You said the same thing.
Do you give him the time off or do you play him those 6 games because he needs to find his missing shot? Because it's gone AWOL on him.
Just rest. Try to give each guy a couple of games. Again, it's the physical break. It's the mental break. It's everything going into the playoffs. I would care more about being healthy going into the playoffs than seeding.
The grades on the Cardinals 2021 draft class, they've been all over the place. How does their group of rookies compare to their NFC West rivals? We'll tell you about it coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. John Gambadoro, Dave Burns, Burns and Gambo Show, NFC West. You always like comparing yourself to your rivals to see how you're doing compared to them. Maybe more head-to-head, more on the field where it actually matters, and not something as silly as draft grades. But it's no surprise at all at NFL.com they kind of took a look at the NFC West and said, okay, NFC West draft grades. Here's the best pick in the division. Here's the most surprising pick in the division. Here's the biggest sleeper in the division. And by the way, the Cardinals were responsible for 2 of those 3 awards as they were handed out. But let me start with the grades first.
Get those awards.
Yes. Well, one was kind of dubious. But the 49ers were given the highest grade by NFL.com for what they did in the draft, a B+. For Trey Lance, Aaron Banks, the guard out of Notre Dame, Trey Sermon, the Ohio State running back, etc.
I liked that pick.
The Trey Sermon one?
Oh, yeah. I like that pick. Yeah. I like him. He's a good back.
The Seahawks, despite only having 3 picks, got a B- from NFL.com.
I didn't know they had any picks.
They only had 3, and one of them was the wide receiver out of Western Michigan, Dwayne Eskridge. The Arizona Cardinals got a C+ for Zaven Collins, Rondale Moore, Marco Wilson, etc., etc. And I want to read what they wrote about the Cardinals and their C+. And just so we get it out of the way,
okay.
The Rams got a C. Okay, so the Rams were bringing up the rear. I want to read you what they wrote about the Cardinals and giving them a C+. Quote, and I quote: "When it comes to talent evaluation, Steve Keim has a type, and that type is sexy." The Cardinals general manager clearly likes making flashy draft picks, sometimes to the detriment of need and positional value. Take Collins, for example. 6'5", 259 linebacker, combines old school bulk with new school athleticism.
Sexy.
Shoot. Mm. The man won a game last year with a 96-yard walk-off pick 6. And when Keim called to inform Collins the Cardinals were drafting him, the linebacker told his new boss, "Steve, we're going to bleeping kill everybody. What's not to like? And the thought of Collins lighting up alongside Isaiah Simmons is admittedly exhilarating from a positionless football standpoint.
What's wrong with having a type, and that type is sexy? Like, but, there's nothing wrong with that.
But is this the best use of a draft resource for a team that's looking to make the step from playoff contender to playoff participant? And it goes on and on, and you kind of see where this is going, that Steve Keim's type is, they're claiming, is this crazy, athletic freak. Like, he's tall, he's big, he's fast, he's strong, he can do this, he can, yeah, that's all great. But A, is he what you need? And B, can he actually play football and contribute at the NFL level? I knew you'd get a kick out of that. It was funny reading it. It was even funnier hearing you laugh about it while I was reading it.
I just kept thinking about his type is sexy. Like, okay. Like, you got a problem with that? Like,
I'm sexy and I'm
Okay, Jordan, just...
At least he didn't do the Justin Timberlake song. God, I hate that song.
Just make me feel old for a second. What year did this song come out?
Oh, I'll have to look that one up.
Wait, I remember doing the wiggle dance at the gym.
Wiggle it.
I'm going to say this was 10 years ago.
Almost as longer than that. Much longer than
that. The YouTube video date on this is 2012.
Yeah, baby!
I'm being told that it really was 2011.
Yes! 10 years ago! I used to wiggle it at the gym when his song would come on.
I'm sexy and I know it.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Oh. Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Come on, do the wiggle dance. Go ahead, Bernsey.
Wiggle it. Go ahead. I'm good.
Wiggle it just a little bit. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm not feeling really sexy right now. I'm not going to lie to you.
Hey, Connie? Our HR director still here?
Oh, yeah. No, I remember at the pit, like, you know, when this song would come on at the pit, I would stop doing what I was doing and just do the wiggle dance. Yeah,
that's okay. I do think Sarah's right. I definitely have a claim to file with human resources if I want to. I think it's there. On you?
For what?
For encouraging me to dance sexy on the air? I think that's in violation of something, right?
You're saying wiggle it, Bernsey.
Yeah, I didn't see you. Just wiggle it.
I shall not, in fact, wiggle for you, Gambo. I will not.
I wiggle for whom I choose.
Exactly, and I do not choose you. I do not choose you, and I do not choose this format.
You think Steve Keim, when he met with Zavin Collins, was like, all right, listen, do the wiggle dance for me. Hey, I want to see if you got it. I got to see if you got it. Come on, give me the wiggle dance.
No, I don't think that happened. At all. I think the folks at NFL.com, whoever wrote that, deserves a lot of credit, because that is a funny way of describing what's... I mean, look, Steve Keim's draft record's not the best, right? I mean, that's not exactly breaking sports news first here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. It's not the best. And you do wonder if his pattern of... I mean, you kind of saw it a little bit with Marco Wilson in the fourth round, too, right? Oh, freak athlete. He can jump and he can run and he was the star of his pro day and he did all these great things. But can he play football?
Yeah, he can play football. Of course he can play football. But I think the difference is this. Sometimes with freak athletes that are versatile, you get caught in the Deion Buchanan, Isaiah Simmons. Oh, how many positions was Isaiah Simmons able to play? It's different if you're a versatile offensive lineman. You can play guard or tackle, okay? But it's, you know, if you're looking at a guy, he could play a hybrid safety. He could play a linebacker. He could come up and be an edge rusher. I think you get lost in that shuffle. I think and that's why I think with Zavin Collins, I think they've learned their lesson. He's the Mike linebacker. What else is he? He's the Mike linebacker. But he's the Mike linebacker. Like, that's what he is. We're going to learn from any mistakes we made in the past and the temptations to say, oh my God, this guy is so good. He could do this, 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 and this. Okay. We're not talking about a valuable bench player that makes the roster on the Diamondbacks because he could play second base, shortstop, and third. Okay. We're talking about a guy that's going to start for you. So give him the one position and let him be his freak athlete at that one position.
Along those lines, I mentioned the quote-unquote awards that were given out by NFL.com. Best pick in the division went to Trey Lance and the San Francisco 49ers. Most surprising pick went to the Arizona Cardinals and Zavin Collins. And, you know, no talk of sexy, but they did point out again.
Who did this report?
NFL.com.
NFL.com.
The league's official website, actually, yeah.
What was the story? NFC
West draft grades 49ers got it right with Trey Lance. Rams took historic gamble. They've been doing this for every division.
I know. I would just love to go back and see what they did, you know, in 2018, you know, and stuff like that. Like, what did they say in 2019? What did they say in 2018? Like, you know, that's the, you know, I'd like to see what their track record is on some of this stuff. But okay. That would take, listen, that would take more time.
Oh, hold on. Let me know.
Oh, okay. Here you go. Right here, 2018. Ready?
Yeah.
Here's the five grades that NFL.com gave the Josh Rosen draft.
Okay.
A. Rosen is the best pure pocket passer in the draft. The Cardinals need to protect him, but if they do, he'll be a Pro Bowler. Giving up third and fifth round picks was more than reasonable for a player with his potential. I mean,
is that the same?
Is NFL.com.
Okay, I just want to make sure it was the same one.
This is the NFL.com. They gave day one grade A, day two grade A, day three grade A, overall grade an A.
Draft grades are. I'm looking at last year's best pick for the NFC West last year.
Yeah.
You know who they gave it to?
Who?
Josh Jones. Arizona Cardinals. Said that was the best pick last year in the draft by the NFC West.
Yeah, okay.
It's a fickle thing, man, these draft grades. They are, look, we talk about things we don't like on this show. You don't like mock drafts.
Yep.
You don't like power rankings. I'm not a huge fan of draft grades because it's like in the moments after the draft, you're going to decide whether a team got an A, B, C, or D. You won't know the answer to that question for 3 years.
Right.
You can't even come close to knowing the answer to that question.
No, it's just funny.
For three years. It's just fun to talk about. It's fun to look at. And more than anything, the grades aside, I like the content. I like what they write. I don't care about the grade so much. I want to know what they think about the pick as opposed to the grade necessarily, a letter grade on it. After a shaky start to the season, Madison Bumgarner starting to regain his old form. Is it something the Diamondbacks can count on now moving forward? That's next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Wiggle, 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 wiggle. Come on, do the wiggle dance. Go ahead, Burnsy. Wiggle
good.
It. Go ahead.
I'm good.
Wiggle it just a little bit.
Time for the Coors Seltzer. What's on tonight? Games we're going to watch this evening. Brought to you by Coors Seltzer. When you drink a Coors Seltzer, you help save the Salt River.
Lakers, Clippers.
That is what's on
tonight. I am kind of interested to watch that.
The Lakers, Clippers. Which, by the way, speaking of the Lakers, Sham Sharania reported earlier today. Sources tell me LeBron James is aiming to return to the Lakers lineup next week. This is of note for the Suns fans. Because he has already been ruled out against the Clippers tonight.
They play him next week.
He's expected to miss Friday's game against Portland. They play the Suns on Sunday. Sources tell me LeBron James is aiming to return to the Lakers lineup next week. Does that count the Suns game? Does that not? Does it matter? I don't know. But that would be right on the fringe of what next week would be if Sham Sharania reporting is accurate, and I'm sure it is when it comes to this.
Listen, he may have came back to, you know, he may have said in his mind, I want to play in 10 games before the playoffs.
I think you're right.
And he said, and it wasn't about the injury. It was about the, I want to play in 10 games.
Getting some rhythm and routine.
He wasn't healthy enough, and he wasn't right, and it backfired on him.
Yeah, it backfired big time on him, and he, now they're down to a handful of games, and how right is he going to be come playoff time? But, yeah, Lakers-Clippers, that is certainly a big one. If you're scoreboard watching, the only other game that really has an impact, Thunder Warriors is also tonight, and just the Warriors to see because that might be the team you play in the first round, depending on how this shakes out for the Phoenix Suns. So those, and then, of course, the Arizona Diamondbacks, the end of this Diamondback game. And the good news in this game is that Madison Bumgarner pitched very, very well. The bad news is that he is out of the game, and this Diamondbacks bullpen continues to make life difficult.
You know, there was a player that got released today that's always been a really good major league player. Pedro Strop.
Mm-hmm.
You know who he is, right? He's been in the league for a long time. I checked with the D-backs on it because it was weird to me that he got let go. So I just wanted to see if there was any chance. He elected free agency after spending most of the season with the Cubs. Alternate strides, 35 years old, but he's always been a really good relief pitcher. Third stint with the Cubs. He's a 13-year veteran. My understanding is that, you know, that he's back in the Dominican Republic, and I don't think he's an option for the D-backs. I believe he went back, from what I'm hearing, went back to the Dominican Republic.
And the reason why we're talking about the bullpen, J.P. Bukauskas in a 1-1 game gave up a solo home run Adam Duvall, oh, he's boy just killed the Diamondbacks.
Killed the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, he's been hard on the Diamondbacks these last couple of nights. He had a solo home run to straightaway center field off of J.B. Bukauskas, and now it's a 2-1 Marlins lead in this game as they are threatening even more in the bottom of the seventh against the Diamondbacks bullpen right now. They've got runners on. They got a runner at third with one out now after that play, so a chance to get another run across in this game right now. So it's 2-1. It might be 3-1 if they're able to get the runner in from third with less than two out in the seventh inning.
Yeah, not good. You know, they're playing so well. You don't want to get swept by the Marlins. I mean, you don't want to. They had really got themselves over 500, and now there's a potential they're down in this one that they could get swept by Miami.
Yeah, I don't know where the Diamondbacks ranked bullpen-wise coming into this game. I know after their meltdown in game one of this series, they have one of the worst bullpens in baseball, ERA-wise. It's been.
Anyway, are we surprised? I mean, the Clippard's been out the whole time. I mean, Soria was out. Divinsky was out. Three of their top guys in the bullpen weren't here. They weren't pitching.
No, I'm not surprised, but it's the one thing that is keeping this really. It's not the one thing. It's the main thing that's keeping this really nice story from being anything more than just a really nice story.
I don't disagree.
The Diamondbacks, right now, they're a really nice story. They're a 500 baseball team. Nobody expected that. That's cool. The thing that's keeping them from being more than that is this bullpen. Because they're day after day, guy after guy, and there's just no reliable options for Torey Lovello coming out of that pen. None. And that's what's going to keep them from being anything more than a nice story. Is that bullpen until they start to get better performances?
Well, you know, one of the things that the Diamondbacks do is they don't spend a lot of money on their bullpen.
No, they don't.
So sometimes you get what you pay for.
Now, the good news.
Yeah.
Madison Bumgarner, six innings.
It's fantastic.
Two hits, one earned run.
How many strikeouts?
No,
seven, eight?
No walks, seven strikeouts.
Wow. That's a great performance. Good for him. Four in a row now for Madison Bumgarner. You feel good about that 1-2 punch? I mean, I wish Widener was healthy because I really liked Widener and what he brought to the table. But the 1-2 punch of Bumgarner and Gallen has a chance to be really good. I mean, so for Diamondback fans, and I'm one of them, just seeing Bumgarner go out there and pitch the way he has, you know, gives you hope that because if you've got a good 1-2 punch, you're going to win a bunch of baseball games. And right now, it looks like they've got a good 1-2 punch. Miami added a sac fly, so they're up 3-1 in the seventh, bottom of the seventh. So D-backs will have two more opportunities to try and get even here.
We feel better about Madison Bumgarner.
Yes. Yeah.
How much better do we feel about him?
I mean, a lot better. Like, a lot. Like, you know, I mean, infinity. Like, infinity.
Well, okay.
I mean, the difference between where he was and, you know, and where he is now is like from here to the moon.
I guess, okay, yes, that was not, I didn't frame that question up real well. Okay, in terms of 4 years left on a deal that pays him $79 million, how much better do we feel about Madison Bumgarner after four starts? That was kind of the question I was looking for there.
Okay, to me, I think that's a year thing. I think how I feel about the remaining years on the contract will depend on how he pitches this year. So, he started off slow, and now he's pitching great. Like, just like we said when he got off to a bad start. Remember what we said when he got off to a bad start? We said, hey, listen, there's going to be games where he goes seven innings and gives up, you know, no runs and two hits or two runs and one, three hits. We said that. There's going to be games like that. But there's also going to be games now, I can guarantee you, there's going to be games where Madison Bumgarner gets blown out in the fourth inning. Like, that's going to happen. So, you know, I don't think that the sample size of two games was enough, but I also don't think that the sample size of four games is. I feel a lot better, obviously, but I don't think we're ready to make any exact determination.
Three earned runs in his last 23 innings pitched, 25 strikeouts in his last four outings as well, with two walks. He's been real good. He's been real, real good.
Sure.
I hope that means there is value to this contract and there is value to Madison Bumgarner over the next 4 years because you can't tell that after one start. You can't tell that
value
after four starts.
Value in him here or value in, hey, if he pitches good enough, he can be traded?
Either or at this point, but just value in that. We're out of here. That does it for us. The Big Red Rage is coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow at straight up 2:00.
Have a great night, everyone.